Hello, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, it's noticeably getting a little bit warmer. And, of course, our puppy is now a young... What's the word I'm looking for when I say a young
adolescent
reprobate, I think is probably
reprobate.
It. Yes.
Yes, reprobate, that'll do.
Yeah, a young reprobate that wants to do all sorts of things, stick their nose in sort of almost anything, and really just not having great deal in the way of manners. So school is obviously the first thing for these dogs, but also the training of the owner sort of controlling their dogs or knowing how to control the dogs is quite important, isn't it?
Oh, it's hugely important. We're seeing a lot now of the adolescents, you know, the young pups that were at the beginning of the year and at the back end of last year are sort of growing. And this will be the first sort of spring summer they've ever witnessed. So they don't know lots of things that we know lots of things about. And we've got, obviously, the weather, as you just mentioned. So dogs aren't aware of warmer weather. We tend to make the mistake, as soon as the weather gets nicer, we think, oh, let's go for longer walks, which is fine. But if you've got a puppy, you've just still got to bear in mind they're still growing. Don't overwalk them. If you've got friends around, like the Easter holiday, that's a classic thing when sort of things go wrong because there's too much. The dogs that we were seeing in class during school holidays, when they come back to class, you can see they literally can't concentrate because they're overstimulated. So remember that when you have, you know, school holidays and you have children around and so on and so forth, or anything you're doing, young dogs get overstimulated very, very quickly. And as a result, they need longer sleeping hours. They need shutdown days where they're not. So if you're going to overwalk them, which, you know, these things happen, maybe the next day have a quiet day at home.
Yeah, well, they like to run. I mean, it's not important that the dog actually misses out on a day going out. So long as they've got some time sort of in the fresh air without necessarily going a long distance. But you did actually mention about them, of course, being hyperactive or whatever. There's a two-pronged thing with that, isn't there? Because does anybody actually really stop and think about the food that they're giving their dogs? Because some of these foods, we picked some for Archie and it made him a little lively. And we looked closer at it and it was actually designed for working dogs.
Right.
Now that's going to make a dog very, very lively.
Well, you do look at the foods because, again, we see a lot of this in class and we encourage people hugely to look at the food. And there's a site out there called whataboutdogfood.co.uk that you can have a look and see. And it's not owned by, it's just a directory of food, but it gives you all the information. And we're able to tell people that. And they look online whilst they're at class sometimes. And we can say, well, look at the sugars and the carbohydrates in that food. And they say, oh, and some of them, bless their heart, actually change the food and within a week say, gosh, the fur's different, the dog's calmer, it's this and that. So, you know, there's a lot to be said for what goes in your dog. You've got obviously natural adolescent behaviour when they're absolute so-and-sos. I was going to put a swear words, but we're obviously not allowed to swear. So, but they make you want to swear. They make you want to swear big time, some of them.
Sometimes, honestly. But we're not going to go there.
No, but so it is that. And as I say, this is the first time they've had spring stroke summer before them. Lots of different things. Lots of things to investigate in the garden. Bulbs coming up. Don't let them go around eating bulbs. If we're out in the garden, you know, planting stuff, digging things, and the dog's out with us, chances are if we turn our back, everything that we dug will be undug by the dogs.
Yeah, that's about right.
They thought that just looked such fun. Which
oh, just
fun.
Helping.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and you know, there's quite a few plants that we would naturally have in the garden that dogs really don't want to be chewing. However, I wouldn't go digging up your garden specifically because you're worried about plants. Train the dog, that's the most thing. We don't allow our dogs on the flower beds. We've never allowed any dogs that come to us on the flower beds. It's very simple. We just, as soon as they put one little toe on, we go off and then praise them for doing that. And it works quite well. But obviously, your young dog might be in hot pursuit of a bee because they're out.
I was
now.
Coming to that in a minute, actually, yeah.
And we've had the neighbours' bees pop in the other day. We had a couple of them pop into the house because they've got hives out there.
Yeah.
And one of our new dog, Peggy, was very interested in a couple of bees that were sitting on her bed. So we removed the bees, and then she wouldn't go near the bed for ages.
No.
I think she's survived now. But it is that thing, you know, that big black nose or whatever colour your dog's nose is, go and stick it in somewhere where there's a bee. Just be careful because they can get stung.
I'm going to say we had this last year in our garden where we actually had, they were nesting under some wood. Some wood that was actually sunk into the ground, and they'd found a way to, find a home in there. And of course, they were coming and going as they do. And the last thing you want to do really is to have to dispense with bees. We can't afford to do that, but
no. Where
there is the other side to the coin of keeping your dogs safe, because you can't actually say to the dog, well, it's not going to actually understand if you say, don't put your nose in there. The only reason they're not going to put their nose in there is if they've been stung, by which time, of course, that's too late. It's a difficult one, but trying to close off or do something to make it difficult for the bees to go into that nest and fly off and go somewhere else and nest is probably the best thing, isn't it?
I would think so. You've either got to sort of close the area off so the dog can't get access, or try and relocate bees. I mean, there's lots of professionals out there that you can contact. If it's a swarm that's come from somewhere else, you might be able to get the queen out, and then the swarm will follow.
Yeah. Well, that's the difficulty, isn't it?
Very tricky. Yeah, it is. I mean, there are natural wild bees, you know, like your masonry bee and the carder bee and stuff like that, which will, you know, they're not your hive bees, but they're lots of little wild bees. So you might have a nest of those somewhere. So, just be aware.
Yeah.
Some dogs aren't so drawn to them, but it depends on the type of dog. If you've got a dog that's keen on movement, so our lurcher's very keen on movement. Oh, God. And she's terrified of noisy flies. So if we get a noisy fly in the house, she's out like flint. She's gone, whoosh. And you think, why is Annie in the garden staring at us? And you think, hang on a minute, and you can hear this big, heavy buzz. And there's a big black meat fly sort of going around like a sort of...
They have some very strange things, don't they, that upset them. Archie's upset by the wind. There's lurcher in him, of course, by the way.
Yeah.
So he's got that quirky thing that there are certain things that really make him jump and run a mile. And other things you think, he should be worried about that, but he's not.
I know, it's bizarre, isn't it?
It's really bizarre, and it's understanding your dog, which comes back to that training and that antisocial behaviour, which leads us on to, if you've got your dogs in the garden, are they yappers? Do they bark?
Yes, you see, that's the other thing. And again, they can bark at bees and wasps because they think they see it moving, or they bark and it moves, and it was probably going to move anyway, but it just so happened it barked at the same time, so that's going to make the dog want to bark again to make it move, etc., etc. So then you've got the neighbours then ringing up saying your dogs are a bit noisy, or knocking on your front door, your dogs are a bit noisy. And I think really you've got to be mindful if you've got dogs and coming into the summer months and you're going to spend more time out there, or indeed the dogs are going to spend more time out there because you think, well, it's nice for them. Great for puppies to be, as you say, in the fresh air that puts growth, puts all sorts of condition on them. Don't leave them out in the heat the outside. I mean,
no. They
need an area where they've got shade, and you have to be sensible over it. Don't let them get overheated. But this barking in the garden can be infuriating, and we've had it locally where we are. And I know our girls will bark, but we allow them 4 or 5 barks, and then we say, right, that's enough. And we've taught them that enough means enough, as in no more barking. And they're very good. They stop. But I wouldn't recommend that you stifle every bark, because
no.
It's got to come out somewhere. But this constant barking is not acceptable. And you know for a fact that people put their dogs in the garden, and maybe they're still working from home, maybe they're online, and dogs can be in the garden for hours and hours come the better weather. And they can be barking for hours and hours.
Yeah, but that's a sign of distress, isn't it? In a large number of cases, that, I mean, dogs for the most part, are quite social animals. So if you just shut them in the garden and you forget about them, they're wondering, oh, I wonder what's going on in there. And they will bark, and they will continue to bark until somebody lets them in, which is, you know, an issue that you need to look after your dog.
Well, you do. One of our girls, I was pooper scooping when we got home from the walk, and I kept two of the dogs out in the garden because the weather was so lovely. And they were both standing on the back doorstep, peering with their heads against the door, trying to imagine it was going to open. And I said, "Come, get in the garden, it's lovely." And then we heard woof, and then another woof, and then that's when the barking starts, because exactly as you said, oh, I wonder what's going on indoors, because they could hear the other dogs. They'd had their walk, didn't particularly want to go and sunbathe.
No.
So that's it. So acknowledge that, I think, and don't become an antisocial neighbour. And also, coming up, we've obviously got the old king getting crowned, so there'll be lots of parties. And be aware of your dog in that situation as well.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I mean, for street parties, I would guess that, I don't know whether, you know, some people are going to be very happy about if you went to a street party and took your dog, because the dog would be sort of on cloud nine, scooping up anything that's dropped on the floor and probably eating many things that they really shouldn't be eating.
Well, exactly. And we heard feedback from when old Queenie had hers last year, that, you know, her platinum, what's it?
Yeah, platinum jubilee, yeah.
That was the thing.
That's the one.
And we did, you know, we get lots of feedback from people, which is lovely, because they love a good whinge to a dog trainer. And it was outrageous, some of the stuff. Again, resource guarding, people dropped food on the floor, and the dog was under the trestle tables before you could say knife, and then growling because it was near somebody's foot who didn't know the dog was under there, and, you know, all sorts of things. So I personally think leave the dogs at home, and if it's, you know, if it's a street party, you can pop back in and look after them.
It's an interesting thing, and you make the comparison between the two, actually, because the Queen was known for her love of corgis, and I would guess she would find some of the dog behaviour rather amusing. Charles is not known for dogs, is he?
I don't know. I know.
Has he got a dog?
I think Camilla's got a couple. What's she got? Cavaliers.
We're going to have to look that
Jack
one up
Russell's.
Now.
I think they were Jack Russell.
Yeah, all right, okay. She's got a couple of Jack Russells, has she?
Got a couple of something, anyway, because they were doing a feature on her, they were trotting along, being very awfully badly behaved.
Were they?
In my world, I felt they were, but they might not be.
That's good.
Also, you've got, obviously, this time of year, we're coming into thunderstorm season as well, and some of the weather we've had recently, we've had hail, thunderstorms also. These are all conditions that some puppies have never, ever, ever witnessed before. So whilst it's normal for us, please be aware that anything new for your dog could really frighten it, so the next time it gets worse and worse, it could become phobic over some of the things, or it could take it in its stride. If a dog takes something in its stride, don't turn it into a drama by drawing attention to it. Say, "Oh, there, aren't you good? You know, with this thunderstorm," just ignore it. And I think that goes the same with a lot of the things, as we say, like the bees and the wasps. Don't turn them into a drama. If the dog's ignoring it, or if you can gently call your dog away from bees and wasps rather than hysterically call your dog away, so you're alerting the dog to there might be a danger. It pretty much all boils down to training, and there are some lovely homeopathic remedies if your dog should get stung. So you could keep those at home, you know, or if you go out ready for any of those occasions.
Well, the bee stings are always a worry, but back to Camilla, Queen Consort Camilla, along with King Charles, have a pair of rescue dogs. Pair of Jack Russells, actually. They're rescue Jack Russell Terriers, Beth and Bluebell. Apparently going to be the first rescue dogs to live in the palace, as opposed to the, I think they were, what's the word? The corgis. They're pedigree, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, sorry, pedigree.
They were pedigree. So you're going to get a couple of rescue Jack Russells living at the palace. Yeah. Will they bark at the crowds? Will they go on the balcony? This is what we want to know.
Will they have little paper crowns on? Who knows?
Oh, no.
So, I know.
I bet they'll be under the table somewhere eating Charles's quiche. He's talking about having a quiche for the coronation. So yeah, I hope dogs like quiche.
I love a quiche.
Well, there you go. You see, you're gonna be all right. Yeah. The other thing, of course, with the warmer weather impending, of course, is if you are going to the coast or you're going shopping and you've got your dog with you, please don't leave them in your car.
No, remember, your cars are heating up really quickly at the moment.
Yes.
I was astonished the other day, and I thought, golly, the car's hot. And we, you know, been out for a walk and come back, and enough to melt my chocolate, so that wasn't good. But yes, be aware that you have got that situation, and they can't cool down very quickly in cars. And also, I know we say it every year, if you put the aircon on in the car, it's more likely to do a very hot dog a very good deal of damage. Open the windows. Don't put the aircon on to try and cool your dog down, because it takes the moisture out the dog. And so just open the windows and naturally cool the dog down. Mm. But basically, don't get the dog too hot in the first place.
No.
But if you are having trips out, be aware of how hot your dog could get.
Okay, yeah, we'll try and remember that, which is going to lead us very nicely on to hopefully what we'll talk about next month, which is, of course, well, your young dog is now going to be going on holiday with you. We'll discover the delights of that and what to do and how to look after your dog on holiday next month. But for now, Wendy, thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you, Tony.